Good morning to you all. It is the first Sunday worship of the new year. I was sitting there thinking, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. But I was sitting there kind of pondering over the weekend a little bit that New Life is getting ready to soon close in on 20 years of ministry. So that will happen next year. Not this year, but next year, in about 18 months, we'll be celebrating in this place 20 years of ministry. It's a long time, but it's not a long time. It's been so fast. And there'll be a lot to celebrate. I think we still have some stuff to celebrate now, but sometimes on Facebook you'll see that some kind of revival or some kind of service is going around across the country, or I've just read one down in Florida where many people are coming to Christ, and many people are coming to Christ here and there, and I want to just let you know here that in this first chapter, what we see in this Thessalonica church is that Paul and Silas, they were there. Paul was there for about 3 weeks. 3 weeks, that's about it. 3 weeks. And he turned that place upside down with the gospel. And these people were coming to Christ, so persecution started to rise because of jealousy of the Jews. But they stayed focused on what they were doing. It was so bad. It got so bad there just in a short amount of time. Paul and Silas, they kind of had to leave, and they ended up leaving. But these were some good people. These were good Christians. They were positive, and they were encouraging people. And even with the persecution, they stayed steadfast, and they were a good example. There was a good example. This is one of those letters, a good example of how a church and people should be. We see that they turn from their evil ways and their idol worshiping and those things, and they turn to the Lord, and they just didn't turn to the Lord in words, but they did it in action. And so it turned that place upside down. We don't hear a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching out of Thessalonians, but there's some really good pieces here. And I just want to work with a few today. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 2, I'll start there. We always thank God for all of you, remembering you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of our God and the Father, your work of the faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing your election, brothers, loved by God, for our gospel did not come to you in a word only, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit with much assurance. You know what kind of men we were among you for your benefit, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord when, in spite of severe persecutions, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. As a result, you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Asia, for the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia, but in Asia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. Therefore, we do not need to say anything, for them themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And what we see here is a piece of what, just kind of a description of what Paul is talking to about these people and this group of people. They were just not people who kind of received the gospel, but they were so excited it changed their lives. And then they went out even past their own territories. This was a place that darkness wanted to cover very quickly, because light was not just coming out, light was beaming out. Lives were being changed. We see the first piece in there, he talks about the faith. He talks about the faith, the work of the faith. The work of the faith is that you need to have faith, but you got to work it. You got to work your faith. You have to work your faith. So we at New Life, we follow that. We follow our vision of God that he gave to us. So we work our faith. We work our faith in what he has called us to do. There are three keys here that I'm just sharing with you. One of them is faith. Now, Corinthians will tell us also about faith being one of those three. But there are three pieces: faith, faith is one of those. It's not just having faith. It's experiencing faith. It's working the faith. It's working the faith. There's a difference in working the faith than just having faith. You got to work your faith. You got to work it. You got to work that faith. I think we do that here at New Life. We have to work that faith. When our budget, when our funds are down, we keep working. When our budgets get down and our ministry budgets have gotten down under $1,000, maybe I think like three or maybe four times this year, that we just keep on working our faith because we know God has called us to do that. God has called us to do that. But we need to work our faith. He says they were to work their faith. He says he remembers their work of faith. But not just their work of faith, but their labor of love. The labor of love. You can't do God's business. You can't do God's ministry unless you learn how to love. And we have turned to, we have not arrived, but we have become better at these things of working our faith, and we are working better even at the labor of love, which means we serve in love. We do it in love. And we've learned to love people that may not look like us. We've learned to love people who are broken. We've learned to love people who are living in sin. We've learned to love people. And some of us have even had to learn how to love ourselves. When we used to despise ourselves, we used to maybe even hate our existence in the world. And here we've learned how to love ourselves, and we've learned to love God even more. And God has been patient with us. But that love of God that he has, we are to labor in love. So we work out our faith, and we work out our faith. We're working our faith. We're laboring in love. We continue to do that. And it can get exhausting. It can get exhausting at times, and it gets hard at times, and it makes it that. It's a part of it. Sinning is easy. Sinning is easy. You just feed the flesh. You just fulfill those evil desires. You just do it. But working in your faith, it takes some work. You have to give up some things to work in the faith. You have to trust God in working in the faith. Labor and love is not all about you anymore. That's the fulfilling the sinful lifestyle. But laboring in love is loving those who don't look like you, loving people of a different color. Now, I live in Fort Wayne. I've lived in Fort Wayne. The house I've lived in, a lot of my family wouldn't even live in that neighborhood. It's black, white, Hispanic. But it's not that now. Now it's Middle Eastern. White. It changes all the time. I love people of different nationalities. I do. I love people. On my next enlistment in the military, I asked to go back to Panama because I love being around those people. I love being around those. I worked in the refugee camps. I love people of different nationality. And God wants us to love people. We are to love people. Love is the key. If you notice some scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus holds keys to Hades and death and some other keys. The key holder is the one that owns it. We are key holders here. We have keys to this church. We have keys to our soup kitchen. We have keys to the house next door. We have keys to the life house. We have keys to the women and children's house. We have a lot of keys. If you don't have the key of love, you don't got anything. You have to labor in love. You have to work that out. You have to learn to love the broken people. Learn how to love the sinner. But also, you need to learn how to love the rich man. See, some of you have a problem with people that make money. You struggle with people that make big money. We need millionaires. We need billionaires. Or we wouldn't have jobs. Many of us wouldn't have jobs. We need to love everyone. Listen, if you can't love a certain person because of a certain thing, you got a spiritual problem. You've got a spiritual problem. Because my Bible says, for God so loved the world. If he loves everyone, he calls us to love everyone. We don't have to love how people live. But we are called to love people. We don't have to accept how people live, but we are called to love people and love them where they are. But also, he says here, we also see another piece in here besides the working of the faith and the laboring love. We also see the endurance of hope. The endurance of hope. It's that we are serving knowing that we are just passed. The Bible says we're just passing through. We're aliens, we're foreigners passing through a foreign land. Now our home is in with the Lord. Our home is going to be in the Lord. We're passing through. We're serving God here. We're laboring in love. We're working in the faith. But also we have endurance, which means we don't quit when it gets hard. We don't quit when the funds get low. We don't quit when some people stop attending, or some people stop serving, or some people slip into some other ungodly lifestyle, into iniquities or trespasses or sinful living. No, we don't quit. We have new life. We have to keep going. This is why the darkness was trying to take out. This is why Paul only had 3 weeks there, because this stuff was ignited. It was blowing up everywhere in a godly way, and so persecution come up on it very strong and very quickly. And we see that we have to have hope. Because what do we want to see? We want to see, the basic thing is, we want to see people come to Christ. But not just come to Christ. We have to come to Christ. Also, we have to salvation and discipleship. Yeah, baptism's in there too. But discipleship, training people up. They come to Christ and they feel like they have it, but there's no change in their life. Listen, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits, okay? But also I want to remind you that Christians sin. Sometimes Christians become prodigal children, okay? But we got to keep looking, and we got to keep looking for the future. We got to keep working for the future, because when your time is up, there's no more serving here. So we need to serve with all of our hearts. We need to do this because people need Christ. People need Christ in their life. They cannot have the life that God wants them to live unless we have Christ in it. And to have Christ in it, we need people to share the gospel. We need the ministries of what we're doing to meet people on a broken road at a crossroads. Listen, some people won't come to Christ until they get to a bad spot in life. Then they start looking around, and here it is. We will stand there at that spot and say, look over here. We're available. They still have to make the effort to come and be a part of whatever we're trying to do, whatever ministry we're doing. But we open the doors. Our doors are open for people to come in with some whatever baggage they bring in. Whatever baggage they bring in, we accept them that way. Why? Because I believe this, that Jesus will meet you right where you're at. No questions asked, but here's the awesomeness. He will not leave you there. He will not leave you with all that junk. So we want to be a part of that. Because every person that really come into Christ, and he would ask, what do you want me to do? What do you need? Jesus would do awesome things. And I'm going to tell you, they never left the same as they came. Now, some of them may have went back to other lifestyles, but they had an opportunity to change their lives. Not every person that comes through our ministries always have a changed life. But that is a responsibility that they have. But we have a responsibility as a church to work out our faith, to labor in love, to keep the endurance, to keep it going in hope, knowing that we're doing this because God has called us to do this. And the Bible says it was all done in Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it without Jesus. You can't do these ministries without Jesus. We can't do this church without Jesus Christ. And we need him always. We're always needing him in everything that we do. And everything that we do, we need him. Turn over to chapter 5. And the last part, I want to share this also, because I think it's important for us to see the end of this letter is very, very encouraging and very, very important. He says in chapter 5, verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who are labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you and to regard them in very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. So here's what it's saying. Right there it says, you need to love your pastor. You need to love your leaders. You just need to do that, okay? But he goes on, he says this. It says, be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible Comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. I think we try to do that here. We try to be patient. We try to do these things here. And God has given us a specific task to do it in the way that He has designed us to do it here. We do it with ministries at a crossroads. We are considered to be a spiritual hospital. That's what we are. Okay? There's other churches that do it in sports programs. Well, praise the Lord, there needs to be people that do that because they're able to reach others and meet them there in an area that they're talented in, their kids are all part of. There's good. There needs to be churches. God's got different tools to use to reach people, but He's telling them here that we need, this, and this works for all of them, that we need to warn those who are irresponsible. Or sometimes we have to confront. Churches don't do that much anymore because we are afraid to offend. It's not offending anyone. This is speaking to someone. If you do it in love, you do it in faith, and you do it in hope, you do it in kindness, you use the fruits of the Spirit, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and you pray through it. Now, some people get angry when you want to tell them something. Now, listen, the Bible also says you need to be careful when you do it. You need to examine yourself. Examine it, not just yourself, but ask the Lord to share, because there's sometimes you have to talk with someone about some things. We also are supposed to comfort the discouraged. Those people who are discouraged. We all get discouraged from time to time. We're supposed to we're not supposed to roll over them. We're supposed to comfort them. That takes work. That takes zipping our mouths sometimes and just being a listener. Not always a talker. Also says we're to help the weak. We try to do that. We try to help the weak. But you got to be careful. Listen, there's a danger in the ministries that we do that you got to be careful. You can get to a place where you become to enable. When you enable, that's a dangerous area to enable people. There's a difference between helping people and enabling people. Okay? So also says we're to help the weak, but also be patient with everyone. You may have come to Christ and the first time someone shared the gospel with you, but this person, it's going to take a little bit. This person may not walk as fast as you in the faith. They may not be as strong as you in the faith. They may be slower at making decisions, whatever. We need to be patient with them. We need to be patient with the children that we have. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone. We are not to get back at people, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. We're supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be doing all of that. And that's some of the pieces that we see in this church, these Thessalonians. They were to take care of each other and to work through that. But they had problems. They had some problems with persecution, but they stayed steadfast. They stayed strong. Second Thessalonians, you'll see there was a little bump down the road where some of them were kind of coming idle, weren't doing anything because they were so crazy loving the Lord. They just sit down and wait for Jesus to come back. They were excited about the Lord and says, you got to get up. You got to live life. But they were just literally, many of them were just sitting there waiting for Jesus to come back. And that, they were ignited in their faith, but they had to be kind of pushed, saying, listen, you got to live life. You got to be out there. You got to keep working and keep serving. You can't sit here and wait for Jesus to come. Just be ready for Jesus to come. So we're here in chapter 1, and this is some this church was igniting for the Lord. They were ignited for the Lord, and that's one thing we can't let, that's one thing we can't do. We can't let it go out here. So I believe anytime good things are happening, there's also some things that are always in the works in the shadows. There's always some dark things. There's always some sometimes spiritual warfare going on with some individuals. And also as a church, and even in maybe one specific ministry this time and another one this time. Because when you come to Christ, it doesn't mean all your problems go away. Actually, you get some different ones that are kind of coming. But God knows how to deal with those. To do what we do comes at a cost. I believe it takes work. And we do it out of faith. I believe we have to do it out of faith. I believe it comes with labor. Loving people. Loving the sinner. Loving people that don't look like us. Loving the broken. Loving the addicted. But I also think it comes with hope. Having that endurance that you keep on keeping on when you see when you're pushing the wall and you're pushing and you see somebody to the right fall back, but you keep going on. You see someone to the left and they fall back and you keep going on. But there's a cost to that. There's a cost to that. And we've had a cost here. Part of our cost is that all of our buildings are 100 years old and they're always falling apart. Can't keep up with everything that's going on. We can't keep up. We got roof issues now with all the hail damage and everything. And things aren't working out the way we want to right there. Some of you have experienced cancer this year. We've had at least, I think, 1, 2, 3 people that talked about cancer this year. We've had spiritual warfare that some people have come up and talked to me personally about some things and they didn't quite understand what they really were. Some of the people in our church was going through financial loss. Loss of jobs, loss of other finances, change in positions. Some have obtained and went through personal loss, such as loved ones. Whether it's a distant relative or a close friend or even as close as much to be a child, some of you lost a parent this year. Sometimes it seems like the doors in your life to become closed when it was completely open and the doors were closed. And you've had opposition on when trying to do things and you just feel like the harder you push and the more you go forward, you're taking 2 steps forward and taking like 4 or 5 steps backwards. In your own personal life, and you're struggling in those areas because serving Christ comes at a cost. It's not that God is doing it. It is that it's part of life. We live in a sinful world, a broken world, but also there's a darkness. There's a dark side that continues to battle those who are trying to live in the light, those who are trying to live the way the Lord has. But I want to remind you, those things that we went through, they are not for no reason at all. These things that we go through creates into us, God uses them and turns them into us and strengthens our faith, strengthens our love, and strengthens our endurance where we thought we could. Many people say, if I went through that, I don't know how I would make it. Well, let me tell you, the people that are saying that are looking at someone who would say the same thing, but they made it through. But I want to tell you what we've done in 2019. What we've done in 2019 is nothing short. It is a God thing. And I think this is why many of you have kept pushing when you went through opposition and the darkness kept pushing and things started happening. There's a lot of things that I have not mentioned that I can't not mention in confidentiality that some of you went through in 2019. It would not be right to bring it up. But you know who you are. You know the things that you went through and you know that they were rough. And some of you, this is probably one of the roughest years that you've ever had. But also, some of the most awesome things that God has done in your life. It's how God can turn things around. And I want to tell you, God knows what it's like when His people suffer and His people go through certain things. But in 2019, we've done some things that only God could allow us to do by the power of Him. One, I want to tell you, this is in no chronological order. It's just the way they came off of my brain. So it was winter shelter for 61 days. The winter shelter for 61 days. We're not doing it now, but we did it last year for 61 days. People always tell me this. If it would just save one person. Well, it did. Right there. One person. That's $11,000. We didn't have the money. I got on the phone, just asked some people to pray, and that money came through within 3 days. That was over $11,000. We had 6 baptisms in 2019. That's not a lot to me, but it is a lot because the last time we did 6 was in 2015. 2015, we did 6 baptisms. This year, we did 6 baptisms. And one of those baptisms was from a mission team out of Kentucky that we did on a Wednesday night. He was on a mission team to come here and serve. He got saved through his group that they led him to the Lord in that group, and then he wanted to be saved before he left. Or he wanted to be baptized before he left. We did that. We had 7 churches come in 6 weeks of mission teams. We had 6 weeks of missions. We had 7 churches come. 1 from Florida, 1 from Illinois, 1 from Kentucky, 1 from Indiana, and 3 from Mississippi. It about killed me. But I want to tell you, that was a lot. We did VBS for the first time in a while, and we had a 3 days. This year we're doing a 4-day, and it's construction and something else. But anyway, I'm excited about it. You guys did a great job there, but we're moving it to 4 days. I was excited about it. I don't be a part of that with everything else going on. You guys do a great job with that, and I was excited. We added an educational discipleship pastor, right, Phil Jones, right there. We've done that, and we also opened up the women's and children's house. We've done that. That's open pretty much, really. It's full now already. We got one little section to go where we replaced the floor at the mill ministry, and we sealed the roof at the flat roof on the mill ministry. We added a bathroom upstairs to this building that we haven't had for 18 years. We got now 2 bathrooms on the main floor. We did some work on the worship ceilings here. We still got a lot to go, but we started it last year. We installed windows, and we did some refurbishing over there in the fellowship area where we're working that area. I did a radio show. I was asked to do a radio show on Bot Radio about our church and ministries that went from this area, and then it went all the way across the country on Bot Radio. I don't know if you know what that is, but that is a big deal. And that's where you hear the re-sermons of Adrian Rogers, Charles Stanley, all these guys, John Maxwell, John MacArthur. Being able to be put on there and share what we do in this little town, in this small church, was able to be there. Got a lot of comments on that. Also, we were picked out, the one church in November, we were picked out over all the churches in the country. We were picked out as the church to pray for on that Sunday, and I'm still getting calls. Got a call from Iowa yesterday. I did research on your church, and this is what he said. I did research on your church. How does a church that small do what you do? I need you to call me and tell me what. And it just went on to a whole bunch of stuff. I'm telling you, it was amazing. We purchased the house next door. That's going to be a men's shelter. That's going to be the men's life house next door. We got that. That we'll be working on this summer. We've already worked on it already. We've strengthened our children and nursery security systems by check-in, sign-in, but also you, the moms, dads, you got pagers in your hands right now that cost like $800. That was a big purchase for our small church. That's a lot. We also have a church car now we're kind of floating around with. We had a lady in our ministry that had passed away. Anyway, left us a car. We put $800. Hopefully it runs for at least a year. It's nothing fancy, but it can get us A to B, and we're working on that. Every one of our vehicles were given to us, the box truck, the van, and the car. But they all come with issues. But we have them, okay? So that's good. We've taken in more money in the New Life Ministry side of it than we've ever have. So it's been a good year. Our $77,000 campaign, we ended up with $74,000, yes. And that was really good. That was an amazing piece. People thought we would never get there. But you know what it is? That's a God thing. And we had a revival last spring, and one church came over, and that man preached, and then they stuck with us for the rest of the week. We had a very good, intimate revival in the spring with Gethsemane Ministries. That was great. And we've experienced a lot of storms through all of this, but you did not quit. You did not quit. We fasted last year, 5-day fast. Woo, who does fast anymore? We do. Not that we're better, but I'm challenging you, next week, next Sunday, we'll reveal that we got another fast coming. We fast for things. We pray for things. And we did that last year. We prayed that God would bring in 2 families to us, 2 families, that just 2 families, that was part of it. And also leadership strengthening. Strengthen our leaders. Strengthen our leaders. What happened? How did God do that? God did that. Well, the first month we started praying about that. We went through the fast. Next thing you know, we lost one of our key couples. Not only did we need 2, we needed 3. Because this church was filling up with a lot of single people. And I love single people. I'm still working on a conference for you. But we said, like, Lord, I just want some couples in this church, and so we didn't just need two now. We went backwards, and we needed three. And now we have five faithful couples coming. One of the couples is Brian and Kelly, and we have Barb and Brad, and we have Phil and Pat, and we have Jeremy, Larry and Jessica. Yes. Listen. You weren't coming last year. 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 God answers prayer and fasting. God's not impressed by the size of the people and the size of the church. It's the heart. It's the spirit. It's the hands. Now, I'm not saying look at your hands physically and look at them and say, well, I have no calluses. I used to have calluses. I only have a few left. My brother teases me all the time. But I want to tell you, God knows whose hands are working. Listen to me. If your hand is not on the plow, you need to check something out. Because God's people, nobody outworks God's people. Also, God knows how to, he convicts me about resting, but he also knows how to rest, okay? But you can't just always rest. Hands have got to have some spiritual calluses on them. But those are some of the things that we went through in 2019. This has been a good year, but also a heartbreaking year for many of you. But you have not stopped. You have not stopped. You continue to work. This is what he says in conclusion. He says, rejoice always. Good days, bad days, sunshine, and the rain, the storms. Rejoice in the Lord. If you need the help on that, read the book of Job. Read the book of Psalms. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Your version might say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If God's moving in your life, pay attention. Pay attention. Do what he tells you. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God will do his part. But we have to do our part. Amen? 2019 has been good. But 2019 also has some heartache. But what's good with the Lord is we don't let that feed and lead us. No one is taking away any grieving spots for you. Understand it. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to work through those sufferings and pains. But when you come through that, and you get through that storm, I'm telling you, God will put you right back to work. Some of you God has done amazing things with. Now it's your turn to start doing something for him. I'm going to tell you this, you'll never be able to repay him back. And he'll never expect you to pay him back. But he does expect you to follow his will. And his will is that you get on board. And you start doing what something he's called you. Don't just be a participator in the worship. Be a participator in his work. Be a participator in what he's doing. That's where the testimonies come from. That's where your life ignites. That's where you find out what God's will is for you. Now, we're going to stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want to come and you want to pray, you want to thank God for whatever he's done for you in your life, whatever is going on in your life, and maybe you're one of those right now that are still going through some time, a hard time in your life. I'm telling you, the Bible says to pray. Continue.